Savior, a song of praise, come let us worship the Lord. Trust in his might, walk in his light, come let us worship, worship the Lord. Faith are his wonders and grand his ways, come let us worship the Lord.
Heavens will thank,
Jesus shall reign, come let us worship, worship the Lord.
Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord,
come let us worship the Lord.
Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice, come let us worship, worship the Lord.
Son of Jehovah, yet Son of Man, hungering lion, yet suffering lamb.
Worship, worship, come let us worship the Lord forever.
Worship, worship, come let us worship the Lord.
Sing to the God of eternity, come let us worship the Lord. He is the King, rise up and sing, come let us worship, worship the Lord. Sing to the Victor of Calvary, come let us worship the Lord.
Father, the Son,
Jesus has come,
come let us worship, worship the Lord.
Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord, come let us worship the Lord.
Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice, come let us worship, worship the Lord.
Son of Jehovah, yes, Son of Man, conquering lion, yet suffering lamb.
Worship, worship, come let us worship the Lord forever.
Worship, worship, come let us worship the Lord.
Worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Worship the Lord.
Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. And will you please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon and refer to the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled for this week and next Sunday. Deacons, please note that there will be a deacons meeting at 3:00 this afternoon. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 42, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Now with hymn number 313, Stepping in the Light. Please stand now as we sing hymn number 393, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Seated, please. I received an email that encouraged you, and God knows when to send it. I come from Bolivia. Many of you maybe know where Bolivia is. If you go to South America, you start from the south, you move up, Argentina and Chile go together. And Bolivia is a country that have no access to the ocean. Very, very poor country. They have a lake called Titicaca, which is about 1,000 feet below sea level. Very precious and beautiful. There is no life there. I thought, until I received this email. I said, dear pastor, I want to remind you that years ago, I listened to you over the broadcast of Family Radio. I started listening to you when I was 16 years old. Now I am 32 years old. And Pastor, you encouraged me through your school, through the University of Family Radio, and I took the courses and finished the classes. And I enrolled in the University of La Paz, Bolivia. And I became a pastor. And now I have a congregation of 450 people. I owe to you my training. And so, Pastor, please do not quit, because you are all... Please keep on building lives till Christ come. Professor George Dieter Paradi, La Paz, Bolivia. These are the emails that keep you young, you know, and keep you saying, and thank God to my good brother Greg, my partner in the ministry, that put us in the internet, and they found where we are in the internet and said, perhaps this is the pastor that taught me and Family Radio. How thankful we are for radio ministry, for God raising Family Radio in a way that was able to reach the entire South American continent, and how grateful we are for the Holy Spirit who teaches you without being you being present. It's just so beautiful. So let's pray. Father, we pray today as a church body, how gracious we are, because we don't have to know who is being benefited by the teaching of thy word, but you know how to encourage if your ministers, if your people who teach, and we are thankful for this man in La Paz, Bolivia, and we pray that he be a good pastor, that he may have a very sensitive heart for his people, and that he may build them up by teaching the foundations of life, which is your word. Father, we do have as a congregation some people in need I have visited with Loretta Forrest. Her spirit is so beautiful, and it's encouraging to sit beside somebody who has cancer and who is for the rest of her lifetime in bed. And she wants to stand and walk. Father, thank you for her. And we pray that she will keep on that spirit until you call her to your presence. We thank you, Lord, that we have sometimes very deep needs. And Victor's brother, Joel, is in a very special case for need. And Lord, I don't know if he's a believer or not, but we pray that through these circumstances, with cancer in his life, he may find you, the living of life, the giving of life. And Father, we pray also that our sister Miram may be able to overcome her sickness, and you give her strength. She is used of you to bless us as she prays you in songs. Lord, we are privileged today to see Nobuko after surgery, and we are so glad to see her in our service, and we pray that from now on you keep on building on her, not only her body, but her dedication to you. We have people in college, Candace in Oregon, Amy, Laura, with great ambitions, as I talked to her through the chat, with great ambitions in the East Coast, Hannah also in the East Coast, Lara in England, Laura. And then we have Andrew Veloz right here in our town. And so, Father, we pray for these people in college that they may find a way for their life, but also that within that way of life, they may keep their life close to you. We thank you, Lord, for the missionaries that we have across the world, for Fred and Carol Lewis in Siberia and Russia, for Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, for Eusebio Marisa Perez and Benal Madena, and these people in Europe, Lord, their euro has raised and their salary has shrunk about 30%, and we pray that they may be able to manage their life. For the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, for Giovanni in Guatemala, for Brother Rode in Papua, New Guinea, Martha Foretti with the drug addicts in Argentina, Daniel Lacey, as he goes into the roads and the racetracks to bless the people and to make them aware that there is a God in heaven. And then, Lord, for the San Jose Sport Ministry Association, as they deal with the young people and they work together. Lord, thank you that you bring all of these people to our life so that we can have an extended physical ministry in different places without being there. And Lord, we thank you for those who are listening over the internet, over the radio KKMC. Father, thank you for each one of our listeners, because we pray that you bless them as they find the way with you. And Father, if someone who is not listening, whatever is in America, we pray that such a person who is listening to us but have no local church, that they may find a local church in the area so they can be in fellowship with you and with your people. Thank you, Father, for the congregation here, right here this morning. It is a blessing to see the house full. Thank you, Lord, for each one of them. And each one, each family, have their own life and have their own problems, and they are here to listen to you. And so, Father, later on when I preach, move me away from this pulpit and let the Word of God bless their life in such a way that they can go home and say, we have been with Jesus today. Lord, if someone doesn't know you or is not sure what they believe about you, Lord, please bless that person with the knowledge of Jesus and the belief on him. And for those people who are watching this movie on the Passion, Father, I pray that not only they may watch the movie and they see the intensity of the sufferings of Christ in the flesh, but also that they may seek in your word and to see the real suffering of Jesus, and they come to believe in you. God use anything to bring your people to your kingdom. I thank you, Lord, for the support of your people to the ministry. And now as we take the offering, we pray that you bless the offering and bless the giver in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the first epistle of Peter? And if you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 714. We will be reading 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your marvelous grace that has saved us from our sins and from condemnation because of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the pure and nourishing teaching founded on your word. We pray for strength so that our spiritual sacrifices of worship and our way of living would show our gratitude for the once-for-all sacrifice and intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him in his words as he brings the message from the Scriptures, and bless us with understanding and wisdom as we seek to be obedient to your word. We pray for those who are yet in unbelief, that the gospel would penetrate their minds and hearts, that they would believe and follow Jesus and know the joy of your salvation. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother, and I encourage you, please, to open your Bible now. If you are in First Peter, you can move to Second Peter, chapter 3, and verse 18, page 717. And if you can put a little more of, I have the microphone in my lapel, TV style, hiding within the cloth. All right. All right, so they know. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. This is the key verse for the entire month. I will be preaching the entire month on this verse. But grow in grace. That's it. Grow in grace. That's what I want to preach the entire month. Grow in grace. Now, for your understanding, grace has become a very religious word. But for your understanding, grace is to receive something you do not deserve. Say you are driving at 75 miles per hour in a highway that is marked 55. The officer of the law stops you.
let you know that you were violating the law. And then you said, well, you know, I'm a pastor and I know I'm guilty. And he said, well, I will forgive you. Now, that's a dream. I will forgive you. All right. That's grace. He gave you something you do not deserve. Now, later on, we're going to talk about mercy, which is God withholding what you deserve. Your mother said, come here, and you delay in coming. And rather than your mother going and spanking you, she does not spank you, all right, for disobeying your mother. So that's mercy. So you got the picture. Grace is receiving something we do not deserve. And we're going to talk the entire month that for that particular verse. Now, keep in mind that thought, growing in grace. And let us then turn to the scripture that our brother have read, 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1, page 714. The metaphor woven through the fabric of this passage paints four beautiful word pictures for us. I'm going to talk to you today, growing in grace. Number one, becoming living stones in the temple of God. Living stones in the temple of God. And Peter paint for the church four beautiful pictures that we can really take on and learn from each one of them. So picture number one is in verse 4 and in verse 5. And tell us that we are living stones in the same temple. Look at verse 4. To whom coming? Or if you want to translate it in a more modern English, coming to him, him is Jesus, as unto a living stone. The living stone will be the translation. The sallow or rejected, the sallow indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You can retranslate that, rejected by human beings, but in the other hand, chosen by God and precious. There is only one foundation, and whatever you are, Roman Catholic, Protestant, or whatever religious you are entitled to have, or denomination you hold in your life, I want to tell you, Peter said there is only one foundation. You see it right here? They said, to whom coming, or coming to him, as unto a living stone. There is only one foundation. If you turn your Bible, put one hand in Peter, because we come back to Peter. But if you go to Ephesians 2:20, page 689, Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 20, page 689, there the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, no Peter, tell us who is the foundation. We read in Ephesians 2:20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophet, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In other words, Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. And this is not new. This is not something that the Americans have made it. In South America, when I went to preach, and I thank God, I was reminiscing yesterday in my trips to Central America and other places in my mind. Most of the people think that, you bring the Bible from America. Well, no. Look, Jesus is the foundation stone. And the Bible said, if you turn to Isaiah chapter 42, page 430, Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1, page 430, you see that Jesus was chosen by the Father. Behold my servant whom I uphold. Isaiah 42 verse 1, page 430. My elect, in whom my soul delighted. This is God speaking of the Messiah. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. You know, if you know your Bible, in Matthew 3 and verse 17, the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus' baptism. This is in the Old Testament. You're in Isaiah chapter 42. Go to Isaiah chapter 28 with me. Isaiah chapter 28. And look what the scripture says in Isaiah 28 and verse 16. Isaiah 28 and verse 16. Therefore, thus said the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. A try stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, he that believe shall not make haste. It's not talking about a physical stone. This is my foundation. It's talking about a life that is good as a foundation, as a stone. The real cause of these Jewish stumbling was the refusal to submit to God. You see, if you go back to Peter, chapter 2, 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 4, page 714, you read, to whom coming as unto a living stone, rejected indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And here is the vocabulary of the Apostle Peter. Is not the Baptist vocabulary or the Roman Catholic vocabulary. I want to get this out of your mind. What it is God is saying, in Jesus Christ, we have everything. The very foundation of our life is the Lord Jesus Christ. You take the Lord Jesus Christ out, and then there is no foundation. And whatever you built will be floppy. Now, there is also, the Bible said here, that we are living in stones. We have a foundation. It's not me, the pastor of the church. It's not any pastor in the history of the church. It's the Lord Jesus. But also, then, the stone is placed, and now the building. All right? There is only one building. Look in 1 Peter 2, verse 5. Ye also, or the word you in plural, you also, who are the you? Look in chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Phoenicia. These are different regions. These are the people. You also, as lively stones or living stones, are built up a spiritual house. In the word house, there is temple. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one building. Oh, you go through the city here and you see our signs at the entrance, Bethel Baptist Church. A lot of Jewish people are calling, thinking that we are a synagogue. And I tell them, yes, we are a synagogue, and you come in and talk to me. So are you the rabbi? No, I'm just the pastor. Who, the pastor? We don't have pastor. Oh, too bad, I said. You need to have a pastor. And then we started a conversation, and very soon they tell me, say, oh, you have an accent. Oh, I'm glad that you hear very well, you know, and we keep on going. See, people classify you by the name you have. Is that right? If I go to some place, I'm Dr. So-and-so. Oh, doctor, how are you? You go over there, I'm so-and-so. They don't care. Believers are living stones. You saw that verse 5? Living stone in his building. Believers, all of you. Doesn't matter what denomination you are. You are a believer. Then you are a living stone in the house of God. Each time someone trusts the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart as their Savior, that when the day of judgment comes, that person will not stay on the judgment of God, because Christ has taken their place. Each time that happens, another stone is quarried out of the pit of sin and cemented by grace in the building of God. Now, you remember Solomon Temple? Today in Sunday school class, we talked about another temple. Not Solomon Temple, but another temple. When Solomon built the temple, what was the quality in architecture that was most fascinating? You know what it was? That each stone was prefab before the temple. There was no noise of the hammer. No noise of the hammer. The stone was cut by the hammer, and they must have a computerized picture of the wall. That each stone was carried on, who know, by many thousands, and placed in place, and they fit together. They don't have to readjust it with a hammer. The same thing in the spiritual life. You don't have to do anything to become part of the temple of God and chip something off your body or your mind in order to become a believer, because that chipping has been done in Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Not only in the suffering of his body, as you saw in the movie, in the Passion, but also in the suffering that you and I have rejected him and ignored him. That's what he cried on the garden. That's how the movie starts. You cry, he cried in the garden, not because he's going to suffer, he's God. He cried in the garden because people reject the very Son of God. And so you and I are built in the temple of God, and you are cemented in that temple. And these rocks in Solomon's temple were taken from different places, even from Lebanon. And so the temple of God. Look in verse 1 again in chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1 of 1 Peter. The spiritual temple of God, the house of God, it belongs to all kinds of people. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, I'm reading chapter 1 and verse 1. To the strangers and scattered through Pontius, Galatia, we're talking Asia Minor now, Cappadocia, we go down south, Asia, we go a little bit to Greece, and Bithynia. All of these peoples are different people. They are people who different character, different background, different hair color, different structure. Some of them are tall, some of them are short. And God is saying, each one of them belongs to one spiritual house, at verse 5 and 1 Peter 2:5. See, we belong to each other because we have the same foundation. If you remove Jesus Christ from the foundation, we don't belong to each other. You belong to some philosophy, some ideas of men, and each century a new idea comes in. But when we have Jesus Christ, we are controlled, built upon. Some of you asked me to call Bernie, and I did call Bernie. And I said, Bernie, I do not hear you say this, but, 8:10 a.m., that guy who claims himself to be, it's a talk show. He claimed to be a former student of priesthood. And I don't brought that in, but I said, who's your foundation, Bernie? This is Pastor Otero talking. He said, you know, my foundation, he started his degrees. I said, hold it. I have my degrees in this drawer. Let me take it out. What does that mean? Who's your foundation? Well, his foundation is a humanistic foundation. So I said, I don't talk to you because we don't have the same foundation. See, we need to have the same foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing you need for your life is not to find what theology said, is to find what Jesus has done. What Jesus has done. Why did Jesus die on Calvary Cross? If somebody said to you, I saw the movie, The Passion of the Lord Jesus, then ask the person. You have the best chance in the world. Ask the person what Jesus has done. And if the person doesn't go farther than believing in him, you have the best opportunity of your life to lead that person to that truth. Let me tell you this. I read this. A contractor in Michigan was building a house, and the construction of the first floor went very smoothly. But when they started the second floor, they have nothing but trouble. Then they discovered the reason. They were working with two different sets of blueprints. Once they get rid of the old set of blueprints, everything went okay. Now listen, If you're trying to find truth and you do not have this set of blueprints called the Bible, then that's what's going to happen to you and to me. If you're trying to find truth through philosophy, through the laws of different countries, look at what a mess is America. We have a constitution. We have a constitution in every state, and everybody is violating the constitution because they don't know what the word women means or the word men means. It's not that crazy. No, it's not. Somebody told me, "Is that crazy, Pastor?" In the coffee shop, and I said, "No, Anthony, no, it's not crazy." Romans 1 said, "The once man set his life to do devious things, God gave them up. And now my eyes have seen what means God gave them up." People with college degree, people with doctor degree don't know what a man is and what a woman is. And my solution is get nude, see yourself in the mirror, and then you live. I had that problem years ago. 15 years ago, I have a beautiful student in my Greek class. And this was the hyper class in Greek. No books, no notes, just the Greek Bible and studying those words. The next day, she said, "I'm Elizabeth." I said, "Oh, Elizabeth, I'm very sorry." I said, "I don't recognize the person." I said, you cannot study with me. This is the sixth level class. After this class is finished, that's it. And you need to have my background. I had the background, and she showed me all the books. "Oh, yeah, sit down there." And there were pastors in that class. And one of the pastors was doing like this. And he was a black man. And I thought he was against these young, blonde women, you know. And I said, "James, when the break comes in, you come to my office." And the break comes in, he comes to my office. And he said, "You know Elizabeth?" "Yeah, he's Marcus." "Oh," said James. "I said, you're crazy. How can Elizabeth be Marcus?" "She had a surgery." We find out. So at the end of the thing, I call Elizabeth to my office. And "Elizabeth, you are Marcus, don't you?" I said, "Well, okay, take your clothes out and let me see." And she refused it. No, I want to see. I tell you, it's just plain crazy. Plain crazy. People trying to play. This happened when Christ is not your foundation. He is the cornerstone. And we are built not upon the philosophy of pastors or teachers or theologians. We are built upon the philosophy of Jesus Christ our Lord. And the first thing that God wants you to do is to take hold of a good set of blueprints called the Bible. I don't care what translation you use. I use the King James. I study in this one. I feel comfortable. But you use any translation that fits your mind and read it until those words become part of your life and become your foundation. Let me ask you, what set of your blueprints are you using? Turn your Bible to Psalm 119, verse 105, page 381. Psalm 100, verse 105, and Psalm 119. "Your word for my feet." See it? "A light on my path." Don't change that. Psalm 119, verse 105. "Your word is a light to my feet for today." Your word, Psalm 119, verse 105. "Your word is a lamp for my feet," right here, today, right here, "and a light to my path for tomorrow." In simple words, I call the Bible tomorrow newspaper. And when the mayor in San Francisco published that he's going to marry people of the same sex, I said, my newspaper already say it. It's going to come at the end of times. So, first picture that Peter preaches, let's go back all the way to page 714 to 1 Peter chapter 2. The first picture is you are a living stone. You have been carved, molded, feet together in the temple of God, not by a teacher, not by a priest, not by anybody else except by Jesus Christ our Lord. He died for your sin. He was buried and he rose again. And when you believe the work of Christ on your behalf, now you are a feeding stone in the house of God. Picture number 2 is verse 5 and 9. Tell us that we are priests in the house of God. Do you notice that? Here it is. Verse 5. You also, as lively stones, are built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. A holy priesthood. We are priests. And if you look in verse 9, what kind of priests we are, they said verse 9, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are not all evangelists or teachers or pastors, but we are all priests. Do you know what a priest does? You see a Roman Catholic priest, he dressed with a certain distinguished way that you say, oh, this is a priest. You know what a priest does? A priest intercedes for the people of God to God. He's the intercessor. Now, how come you are a priest? Well, because Christ is our intercessor. And as long as you are on the top of that foundation, you are what the foundation is. You are a priest. And priests offer up prayers, intercede to God on behalf of others, and stay in tune with their spiritual life. All of these apply to every believer, regardless of age, regardless of gender, regardless of social standing. Yes, there is hope for us because we can pray for ourselves. We can pray. People take prayer very lightly, but prayer is one of the office of every believer. You're a priest. Picture number 3 tells us that we are a chosen race. Take a look in verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 9. We are a chosen generation. I used to teach Greek in a college in Hayward, and there was a Hebrew professor who happened to be a believer, but he was Hebrew of origin. Hebrew. Very Hebrew. Even though he maybe was the 200th generation of one of the sons of Jacob, but he was very Hebrew. He was a leader of Jesus for Christ and so on. And each time he saw me, he said, I'm a chosen person. I don't say anything until after a year, I got irritated to me. Because when they say that, when you say I'm a chosen person, it looks like you are above somebody, don't you think? And we Arabs don't let anybody be above us. So what's going on? So I said, Jacob, why did God choose Israel? So answer the question. Because of their greatest strength, they were great military people. Or because there were a great number of people. Or because they had such a mental superiority like you believe that I know everything. You know, even some people tell me the stupidity. The Jewish doctors are better than the other doctors because they have a better mind. You know, it's amazing. Get me irritated. I said, we can find out the whole thing. Turn your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, page 121. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we're going to read verse 6, verse 7, and verse 8, and you're going to find out why the God chose us. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, and the page number is 121. Moses is speaking to the Jewish people, and he said, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all the people that are upon the earth. And verse 7 and 8 explain. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor chose you, because you were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord love you. My friend, for the same reason, Peter can write here in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 9 and said, ye are a chosen generation. Not because we did anything that impressed God. It wasn't the size of your faith, of the sincerity of your faith. It wasn't the goodness of your heart or the greatness of your intellect. It certainly wasn't because we first chose him. It was entirely by grace. That means God loved me because he loved me, period. Isn't that fantastic? We are a chosen generation. Number three, picture number three. You have been loved by God. You know, I have a lot of people in my 35 years of pastorship. They said, you know, pastor, nobody loves me. Yes, if you're a believer, God loves you. So how do you know? He saved you. How can you think that God will save somebody without love? To a Gabriel Otero who said, soccer is better than anything. The church is for all people. That's what I said. And I'm a pastor now. Years ago, my aunt, 95 years old, she moved to America to my cousin's place. And I went and read the Bible every week for her. She was the wife of the pastor that I had. My uncle was the pastor, and he died. And each time she see me, she I remember Raquel, every time she saw me, she said, sit down here, son. She said, are you sure you're a pastor? This is how rascal I was. Are you sure you're a pastor? I said, aunt, I cannot play soccer anymore. I'm in church. Are you sure you're a pastor? Well, read me that scripture. And one time said, read me John 6:63. Remember that? Read it aloud. And then she knew English and Spanish. Read me the both language. And there you said that the word of God is a living word. She said, don't do nothing more than preaching the word, she said to me. And you have to listen. She's 93. Now listen, you are a chosen generation. It doesn't matter who you call yourself, Catholic, Protestant, whatever you call yourself. If you know that Jesus Christ died for your sin, was buried, and rose again, if you have get that knowledge in your head, it's because God loves you. Otherwise, there is no way in this world that we can get that knowledge and believe it. But when God penetrates, it's not because who we are, it's because of what he is, you know? It's fantastic. Picture number four, verse 10. Look at what it said. Which in time past were not people. And some people who are philosophers, they said, the Bible is incoherent. How the Bible said there were no people? There were there animals? No, there were no people of God. I said, look at here. I should not teach in that way, but they get me to me, you know. Which in time past were not people, but are now the people of God. She's talking about being people of God. But now are people of God. The word is Laos. Laos. There is a country where their capital is Laos, means people of God. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have received mercy. Do you see how clear it is? We have received mercy. What do you mean, pastor? Well, if you read Revelation 20 from verse 12 to 15, you get scared to death. If you read Hebrews 10, the Bible said, Hebrews 9:27 said, it is appointed unto man once to die, and we all agree. But then the Bible said, then thereafter the judgment, you're going to stand before God. In other words, we have received mercy. We don't have to stand in the final tribunal of God. Why? Because Jesus stood in our place. That's why he suffered. Not so much in the body as he did suffer in the body. But that was not the thing that really destroyed Jesus. Was the fact that he died for each one of us. From eternity past to eternity future until he comes. A tremendous thought. You cannot put that in a film. You have to put that in your heart by believing. See, this is the beautiful part. We have received mercy, and as a result of God's mercy, we have become people who are uniquely and exclusively cared by God. He's not against you. He is for you. And after you die in peace, knowing that one day you are not going to meet a judge. You are going to meet a savior, a king. Well, let's get the conclusion of this. There are four pictures. We are living in stones in the temple of God. God fit you in Christ Jesus. He took all your sins and fit you in the temple of God. Number two, we are priests in the same temple. Sometimes in the morning after my workout in the gym, I come here and nobody is here. I can leave the doors open at 6 o'clock in the morning and pray. You are a chosen race and never feel proud about it. You are a chosen race means you are the benefactors of God's love. He loves you just as you are. You know, some people say, well, if I change my life, I go to the church. Please don't change your life. We like you and the way you are. And this helps all of us. When you see somebody in trouble, when you see somebody in real trouble, don't judge that person. Please, get judgment out of your head. Extend your hand and see how much you can help. That's what God will do. You know how many people come and knock the door here? About 20, average of 20. They are all asking for food, asking for a place to stay, asking for all kinds of things. And I help them. First, I'm reasonable with them. I say, give me your social security number, please, so that I can put it in the computer. I have the police record and so on and see who you are. When you lose your job, what you have done to get a new job. I'm worse than the police in asking questions. Because, you know, it's not my money, it's your money. And I don't want to give a penny of this church because it's your money and dispose to somebody who will not. And once in a while, about 10 people in the whole month are benefit. 9, maybe 8 get the benefit going with me to the store and buy some food for their life. We have to extend love carefully, but well done. We're a chosen race. And we are the recipients of God's mercy. So please have mercy on people. Sometimes mothers call me from different churches, different places. They know me from family radio. A pastor, I remember a lady from Chicago calling me. My son, remember the time when men start wearing, what do you call this? Earrings. Crazy, you know, if it's me, I'll get a scissor. Wear like that. She said, what are you going to do? My son came from college with earrings. I said, well, will you love your son? But pastor, what is going to end? I don't know. That means ask your son to look in the mirror and ask him if she was from Holland. The whole family from Holland, blonde, white people. He said, look in the mirror and say, are you an African? And the guy said, yes, from South Africa. They are white and blonde. I said, just love him. Overwhelm him with love. So I told him I will not cook breakfast. No, overwhelm him with love. 4 years later, she called me. Said, my son took the earrings out. Said, no, your son didn't. God did it. He found God in the university. He went to a Christian school. And he found God. And when he found God, you don't have to say to him, take your earrings. Automatically comes, with the knowledge of God comes the knowledge of life. We are a chosen generation, but also we have received mercy. We need to share mercy with people. We are so quick to judge, don't we? It's nature. But then we have to have mercy on it. So, because of these four pictures, I want to give you the conclusion. Verse 11 and verse 12 is the conclusion. Look at the conclusion. Verse 11 and verse 12 is the conclusion. Dearly beloved, I love that. Dearly beloved. Beloved of my heart, said the original, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. That means the word pilgrims is a word that indicates temporary living in the original. I beseech you as aliens and temporary living on the earth, abstain from fleshly lusts. Abstain, be distance. Keep away, avoid fleshly lusts. It is a word that means abstain or avoid anything that is not under the Spirit of God's control. Sarko hakomino. Please move away from anything where the Spirit of God is not on it. Young people, watch television as much as you can. But when you see something that the Spirit of God is not on it, shut it off. You're going to say, I had to shut it the whole day off. Well, good for you. Except you can see a good soccer game, Channel 402. All right. But even soccer games are dangerous on the middle. So close by, wait 15 minutes and put it back again. Because come those girls who dance and so. Number one, he said, conclusion number one, abstain. Live a clean life. That's the conclusion number one. Live a clean life. Now conclusion number two, he said, having your conversation, said the King James, having your conduct honest among the Gentiles, honorable among the Gentiles. Leave no room to the slander. You know, people like to slander other people and talk back. Don't give room for them to talk. Number three, conclusion number three, look at verse 12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evil doers, they may by your good works. Number three, leave a good example in the world. By your good works, by your actions, is what it's saying. By your ergomai, by your actions, they will say, you know, I disagree with so-and-so, but boy, he lives a clean life. That's what it is, your actions. And then number four, live like you are in a crystal house. Look at here. You as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold or see, glorify God in the day of visitation. In other words, live in a style of life like you are living in a crystal house. Can you imagine? Living in a crystal house, everybody knows what's going on in your house. Live it that way. No secret. You don't have to look back who's watching you. Live that kind of life, and you will see how wonderful it is. Why? Because you are living stones. Why? Because you're a chosen generation. Why? Because you're a priest. Why? Because you have received mercy. You see, we have the right and we have the power to live a clean life because we have received all of these things. I preach in Christian schools and high school. That's the worst place to preach in Christian high schools on the junior and senior years. And I preach like saying, I want to talk 10 minutes and you ask me questions. And there was a larger one in Hayward. And boy, those students are ready, you know, ready to kill you. One boy I get to know later on, he said, Pastor, I have a deep question for you. So go ahead. In the meantime, you turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians 6:12. That's the key verse that wrap up the entire message. 1 Corinthians 6:12, page 673. This boy said to me, Marty, stand up. And Marty stood up. A girl built like a Coca-Cola bottle, you know. Real pretty. You can see a smile like that. He said, Pastor, what do you do when you see a girl like that? What a question, a deep question. They want to know the answer. I said, you take a good look, and you say, God knows how to make good, beautiful things. And you leave it there. But if you look again, you have committed sin of adultery or fornication. So I just want to know. But I said, wait, hold a minute. Let's read 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful or permissible unto me, but all things are not expedient or thus good. Okay? I can do all things and I would not lose my salvation, but not all things are good. All things are lawful, permissible for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any, or I determine that I will be dominated by any power outside God. You got it? Because you are stones in the house of God, because you have received the mercy of God, because you are a chosen generation, you can look to anything you want to, you can see everything. When you go to work, you have the worst scenario, all right? But we will not be dominated by the power of anything that we see in the world. That's the key. I had to face that myself. I was drinking 40 cups of coffee. Until I got real sick. And Dr. McCormick put me with a cardiologist who, I guess, don't like coffee or tea. He said, no. But I said, can I have the caffeine? He said, no. I thought he was going to kill me. I mean, I'm glad that day, remember, the deacons were visiting and with me, because when I saw the deacons in the waiting room ahead of me praying, I said, what happened to me? Well, the cardiologist brought these wires, you know. He said, well, if you don't improve, I have to be shot like that. Wow. And if you don't improve, I have to cut you and put a pace. So what can I do? So well, do two things. What do a sport like you did before and get exhausted as much as you can. And don't drink coffee or tea. And I said, but just a little bit. He opened the window. And the hospital, his office used to be in the San Luis Hospital here in Morro Hill. He said, you see that grass? That's what it is. You are drinking that grass. I said, enough, enough. He was so mad that scared me to death. Now I'm drinking 5 cups. It's just amazing. People of God, don't do anything that hurts you. Nothing is going to take the Lord of you. I want to tell you that. But you don't want to try to hurt you. May God bless us as we become living stones in the temple of the living God. God bless the people that they may go out of this place knowing that they have a peace of mind, that they have Jesus in their heart. And then nothing can take that foundation. But rather, Father, help us to live such a life that will show people around us that we are living stones in the temple of the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To seize
being the first Sunday of the month, for those who are new, perhaps you don't know, we have the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper in our church is for everyone. Anybody who is a believer in Christ can participate. The fruit of the vine symbolizes the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the bread symbolizes his body.